name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Today is the 16th day of the blessed month of Misra. May God end it in goodness and renew it for us in peace and tranquility, while our sins and iniquities are forgiven through the tender mercy of our Lord. O my Father and my brethren, Amen. On this day was the assumption of the body of our pure Lady, St. Mary, the Mother of God, while she was keeping vigil, praying in the holy specular and waiting for the happy minute of her liberation from the bonds of the flesh. The Holy Spirit informed her of her forthcoming departure from this vain world. When the time drew near, the disciples and the Virgin of the Mountain of Olives, the Zaytun, came, and the Lady was laying on her bed. Our Lord, surrounded by thousands and thousands of angels, came to her. He consoled her and announced her with the everlasting joy which was prepared for her. She was happy, and she stretched out her hands, blessed the disciples and the virgins. Then she delivered up her pure soul in the hand of her Son and God, Jesus Christ, who ascended her to the higher habitation. As for the pure body, they shrouded it and carried it to the Gethsemane. The departure of St. Mary was in the blessed month of Tuba, 21st of Tuba, not today. Today is the assumption of her body. On their way, some of the Jews blocked the way in the face of the disciples to prevent the burial. One of them seized the coffin. His hands were separated from his body and remained hanging until he believed and repented for his mischievous deed. With the prayers of the holy disciples, the hands were reattached to his body as they had been before. St. Thomas was absent at that time, or at the time of St. Mary's departure, but he came after the burial. On his way back to Jerusalem, St. Thomas saw angels carrying St. Mary's pure body and ascending with it to heaven. And one of the angels said to him, "Hurry and kiss the pure body of St. Mary." When he arrived to the disciples, they informed him about St. Mary's departure. He told them, "I will not believe unless I see her body. As you all know, how I did doubt the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ before." They took him to the tomb to uncover the body, but they did not find it. And they were perplexed and amazed. St. Thomas told them how he saw the pure body ascending to heaven carried by angels. The Holy Spirit then told them, "The Lord did not will to leave her holy body on earth. The Lord had promised his pure apostles that they would see her in flesh another time. They were waiting for the fulfillment of this truthful promise until the 16th day of the month of Misra, when the promising of seeing her was fulfilled." يعني الجسد صعد بعد نياحتها على طول، لكن الجسد عاد وظهر تاني according to the promise، حسب وعد المسيح للتلاميذ، وده كان في 16 مسرة اللي هو النهاردة. النهاردة عيد ظهور جسدها اللي صعد للسماء. They saw her sitting on the right hand of her son and her Lord, surrounded by the angelic host, as David prophesied and said, "At your right hand stands the queen." It is Psalm 45. St. Mary's life on earth was 6 years. She spent 12 years of them in the temple, 30 years in the house of the righteous St. Joseph, and 14 years in the care of St. John the Evangelist, as the Lord commanded her, saying, "Woman, woman, behold your son," and to St. John, "Behold your mother." May her intercession be with us. Amen. On this day also, of the year 1391, Pope Matthias, the 102nd Patriarch, departed. He was known as Matta el-Miri. This father was born to pious Christian parents who were righteous, merciful, and benevolent. They were of the rich people of the city of Mir, Ashmonean districts, the diocese of Coscam, which is known as El Muharra. They had vast farm land and livestock. They had three boys. One of them was this righteous father. He was the closest to his parents, and his name was Gerges. They raised him with prudence and brought him up with good manners and decency. They never asked him as they did his brothers to work on the farm or attend to the livestock. Instead, he dedicated himself to reading and learning until he became more informed about the holy books than his contemporary. He was able to explain and interpret their meanings to those who had difficulties with them. When he grew up, he renounced this vain world and went to the monastery of Saint Mary, known as El Baramos, Feder El Baramos, in the wilderness of Shehit, where he stayed for 6 years. He saw in a dream that his parents were grieved over him, for they thought that he was dead, since they had not found him. Immediately he informed his brothers to the monasteries, who advised him to go to his hometown to see his parents. He went to Mir and greeted his parents, who became exceedingly happy when they saw him alive. Afterward, they wished to wed him, but when the saint learned from a friend what his parents intended to do, he escaped and returned again to the monastery. The monks welcomed him back with great joy. He lived with these holy men in love and faithful service, so they nominated him to the monastic rank. Then he was ordained a priest for the monastery, and after a short time, he wore the scheme, حاجة خاصة بالرهبان اللي ليهم درجة عالية, and he exhausted himself with vigilance, prayers, worships, and kneeling more than was required from the other monks. He fasted from sunset to sunset of the next day, and in the winter he fasted 2 days at a time. 2 days at a time. He kept his manner all the days of his life until he realized the favor of God because of his good deeds, acceptable worship, and asceticism. When Pope Marcus VI, the 101st Patriarch, departed, the bishop, priests, and lay leaders thought of a new righteous shepherd to ordain in his place. They asked the monks of the wilderness and the monasteries to guide them to one fit for this position. The monks guided them to this father. When they asked him to come to Cairo, he refused to come he refused to comply with their request. So they were forced to send a soldier from the government who seized him and brought him to Misr, Cairo. Meanwhile, the people of Cairo seized another righteous priest called John and wanted to ordain him a patriarch. And as a result of this conflict developed, the governor apprehended the two candidates and imprisoned them for 40 days. When the matter prolonged, the bishop met and decided to cast an altar lot, القرعة الهيكلية, which was done before all the congregation. The soldiers also cast among them another lot in the government building. Each time they drew the lot, it fell on Gerges. One night, the soldiers of the governor saw a burning candle hovering over Father Gerges' head while he was in prison. Finally, they nominated this father after the considerable contention, and all the congregation was pleased. He was ordained on Sunday, 13th days of Hathor, and this was in December 6, 1660, during the reign of the Ottoman Sultan, Sultan Muhammad الرابع أو the fourth. The celebration of his ordination, was a splendid and grand celebration which was attached by many of the other Christian denominations. When he was enthroned as the patriarch in the patriarchal cell at Haritzwila, he considered marital and family matters and the church affair in stern, just, and fair judgment. He was meek and humble, disliked attention and exaltedness, so he never sat on the chair in the church, but stood beside it until the end of the service. He visited widows, orphans, and the prisoners, and cared for the monks in the monastery, fulfilling their deeds. He cherished the monasteries and the churches as he lived a simple life as those monks lived in the wilderness. During his papacy, the church was in peace and tranquility, and the church was enlightened with his grace. And in the year 1671, a grievous plague befell Egypt, or مرض الطاعون, which perished many. He ordained two successive metropolitans to Ethiopia after the departure of its metropolitan Ioannis XIII. The first was Amba Christozoulou II, who remained on the church from 1665 to 1672 during the reign of King Wasilidis. The second was Amba Shenouda I, who remained on the church from 1672 to 1694 during the time of John I. Pope Matthias IV was the last to dwell in the patriarchal cell at Haritzwila, for he moved his residency to Haritarrum in 1660, just after his ordination. During his papacy, Pope Matthias endured some hardships. The devil entered the heart of a Christian man and motivated him to go to the tax collector to cover tax the Christians, which put a great burden on them. They complained to the Pope, who sent for the tax collector. The Pope forbade him, but he did not cease his wicked act. The Pope excommunicated him and the men died a horrible death. Another time, a woman came to the Pope complaining that her husband has divorced her and married another woman. The Pope sent for him and asked him to come with his second wife. When this man came, the Pope ordered them to be separated. But the second wife refused, saying, "How can that be while I am pregnant with his child?" Then the Pope said, "The Lord Christ will judge between the two marriages." Just as the second woman left the Pope's cell, she aborted, and the fetus came out of her womb. A great fear transpired because of this incident. The man separated from her and returned to his first wife. Pope Matthias became respected, honored, and revered by his people. Another time, some infidels wanted to demolish Saint Marcorius of the Two Swords, Abu Safin, to demolish his church at Old Cairo, Masr al-Adima. They went to the governmental office and appointed someone in charge of this matter. When the Pope heard about their intentions, he grieved much and spent that night's vigil, يعني سهران, beseeching God and interceding with Saint Marcorius to annul their conspiracy and save the church from destruction. While the soldiers were asleep around the church, a wolf fell on them. They all died, and the news spread around the city. The wicked conspiracy was annulled, and everyone glorified God. During Pope Matthew's day, the enemy of God stirred up and unbelievers against the Christians. But Christ, to whom is the glory, always vanquished their counsel and perished them through the prayers of Pope Matthias, for he shepherded the flock of Christ faithfully. When the time of his departure drew near, he went to the tomb of the patriarch in Misr and said to it, "Open and receive me, so I can dwell with my righteous brothers." After he returned to his residence, he fell sick with the illness of death. He called the bishops and the priests and commanded them on the flock of Christ. He also called the abbess of the convent and the grave, and gave her all he had, and asked her to hand them to his successor, as they were the property of the church. Then he departed in peace at a good old age, after he had remained on the chair of Saint Mark for 14 years, 8 months, and 9 days. He was 75 years old and was buried in the tomb of the patriarch in the church of Saint Marcorius in Old Cairo. The chair remained vacant after him for 7 months. May his prayer be with us, and the glory be to God forever. Amen. Leave.